Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go, this is it!
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Hotbody Dawson. Pow, pow, pow!
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney, so what?
Monday morning episode, we're recording this on Sunday evening, that we just mentioned there before we started about the intense ongoing heat situation.
Do you think it made me think we just had a little very brief chat there before we started. Do you think it would be extra value to punters on a top tier subscription package that if we just included pre and post chit chat?
I don't think they'd get anything from it.
I know, but you know, there's weird taste. I mean, I'd venture, I don't think they should be able to get anything out of anything we release. I mean, but, you know, it takes all sorts, doesn't it?
I mean, we pretty much put everything out that we say, don't we? The vast majority of it goes out. There's one or two things that get removed for legal reasons.
There's bits of gossip that even we deem to be too sensitive to be revealed on air, but that's only occasional, isn't it?
I thought what you were going to say there was, I thought you were going to say, in relation to the heat and everything, would it be advantageous for us to do a live stream video shirtless, topless, if you like?
Well, my neighbour, do you remember the existence of our ghost neighbours? The neighbours who my wife informed me were dead,
the ones
but
who died.
Then reappeared.
Yeah, I do.
So well, they're now just known as the ghost neighbours.
Yeah.
And man ghost neighbour has been out the front. He's a big lad, right? He is a big fella.
How old is he, roughly?
I would say he's probably in his mid to late 60s, right?
Right, okay.
He's a guy in his 60s, former builder, and he's got the tits to, you know, to show it.
Bought and paid for. Yeah.
Yeah. He's got a lovely big pair of tits.
Excellent.
And they are, the ghost neighbours are, they're pleasant enough, but they are notoriously nosy.
Oh,
They're streets nosiness. And he is out the front. This is dreamland for him at the moment because he's out the front with the hose non-stop on his little bit of lawn, right? And he is shirtless.
Yeah.
Imagine, who's the close overlink of? Imagine a greying Eric Bristow.
Right.
Shirtless.
Fucking
out the
hell.
Front. Right.
Jesus.
And he's out there, tiny bear shorts, massive big belly hanging over, which, by the way, I'm not judging at all. I admire his bravery. I'd be way too shy to get my grotesque torso out, you know, for all the neighbours to see. Be too shy about it. He doesn't give a fuck, though. And he's there with his, like, thing. And he's quite, there's quite a lot of, on his tits and belly, there is there's a greying rug of hair all over. Again, not judging him for that. Think it's quite beautiful in some ways. And he's just there out the front looking at everyone spraying. We sat down to have our dinner and he shamelessly actually raised up a little bit on the balls of his feet, trying to look to see what we were having. And when I caught his eye back and I was saying to, like, my wife and kids, oh, look, ghost neighbour's actually trying to see what we're having for dinner. So I caught his eye and he didn't care. He couldn't give a toss.
Held gears, did he?
Yeah, but he's not the sort, he's not aggressive or anything like that. To him, it's just like normal.
Yeah.
He's just like, all right, I'm just looking at what you're having for your dinner.
Yeah. You're on public display, therefore I'm taking advantage of that and I'm having a good look. If you didn't want me to see, you'd shut the curtains.
We had my mother-in-law around for dinner the other night, I think Wednesday night, and she's single. Don't get any ideas, though. She's not a widow. Plus, right. I don't want you being my... father-in-law, mate.
You don't want me joining the family tree.
Actually, you'd be an all right father-in-law because, like, you know, I've got a really good father-in-law.
So.
He's into, like, music.
Yeah.
And he likes talking about music, politics. He's not big into football, but he'll talk about it. He's Hungarian, so he'll tell me a lot about, you know, Puskás and the classic Hungarian teams.
Yeah.
And he'll show some interest in football. And but mainly he's like, you know, he gives me a lot of his old records and all that stuff. Yeah, you'd be a good father-in-law. You'll be a good father-in-law one time because you're like, you know, you'll be like, come on, let me... Are you familiar with Sparks? Come on, son, let me educate you. Come and sit down. But I'm supposed to be... No, don't worry about that. She won't mind. She'll understand. Now, look, listen to it. We're going to listen to it from the beginning. Yeah, this is early Sparks, which is the good stuff. If anyone tries to get you into anything past their first couple of years, basically they're cunts.
I wouldn't agree with that, but...
We'd
start with this turning big enough for the both of us. And,
take it from there. You'd ease him into it.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
The whole of that first album's flawless. Kim Won On My House. It's not their first album, it's their first hit album. But it's not a bad second, on it.
See, I'm getting a taste of it now, if you do get together with my mother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
But she was here and...
She'd have to move up here, though. I'm not interested in relocating down south.
She might do, you know. I mean, I could see her thinking, fuck it, I'll move up north. You know. She's got a house in, she could sell her house and... You know, be able to, she goes in with you and you both sort of merge. Yeah,
sure, okay.
If you sold your rig together, and she held hers, I mean, you could afford a major. Oh, yeah, with a lot of land. You'd probably be able to get some horses and that.
Goats, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Tortoises.
Anyway, I'll see what she thinks. But I was going, look, he's because he was over there sprinkling his lawn and trying to have a good look into, they've got someone round, I'll have a little look who that is.
Yeah.
Right, and I said to my mother-in-law, hey, look, it'd be all right for you. I mean, his wife, she's alive. We thought she was dead, we think she's alive. She's come back to life, we think. But he could be on the market. What do you think? Because my mother-in-law once told me, when I asked her what sort of fella she'd like, if she was to find a new fella, she told me, deadpan, that she liked the rough and ready type.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I mean...
I said, he'll do for you, he's rough and ready. And to be fair, she's quite a laugh. She literally went, oh, yeah, I wouldn't mind a bit of that.
I don't know if I am rough and ready, Sam.
You could pass for it. I don't think you're rough and ready, but I think you could pretend, you could quite easily convince someone you were.
Yeah, I can play rough and ready. But
you've had to for Old Loachy, haven't you?
Yeah, in the Ken Loach film, The Old Oak, which will be released next year.
He only likes rough and ready.
Yeah.
He's my mother-in-law in that
maybe
sense.
Maybe I would have got a more substantial part if I'd been a bit more rough and ready, I think.
Just death the stubble for an extra couple of days before your audition.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. But that's all in the past now. It's not at the heart of who I am, but I can pull on that mask if I need to. Yeah.
I had a good rough and ready look going recently. I can't remember if I told you this, but I smashed my own head in the car door. And it was a remarkable thing.
This must have been while I was away on holiday, was it?
Yeah, it was, yeah. And basically, there's a lot of adventures that happened that I haven't filled you in on. But I'd come back from the gym and I was feeling good, right? Because I'd had one of those morning endorphin rushes you can occasionally get. And the sun was shining. And I thought, fuck this, I'm going to stop at the coffee shop, pick myself up a coffee. And I thought, fuck it, I'll get the other cunts some coffee as well. Bring her home and surprise them all.
Other cunts.
Yeah, meaning my family, right? So I thought, this will surprise the cunts, liven up their fucking miserable dates. I've been at the gym, ain't I?
Look what Dad's
working
brought
on the guns. And I've brought home some fucking coffees for
party
you.
Party time.
Juice for the lad, ice latte for the girl, and a cappuccino for my wife, right? Anyway, I was leaving.
Come here, give
us
a kiss.
Give us a kiss. Look what I've got for you. That's a real ladies' coffee, that is. And I had my rucksack over my shoulder, and I was leaning into the car, but I'd sort of parked next to a tree, so that was quite difficult. So I was leaning around the tree and trying to grab that. You know those trays that they give you coffees in when you're ordering more than
cardboard
one?
Cardboard ones.
It was one of those. And I had that, and I'm trying to juggle all these things at once. And then, like an idiot, I grabbed the car door and tried to sort of slam it shut whilst in one motion as I moved away from it. But I didn't move away quick enough, so I slammed the door on my own head.
On your own head?
Yeah, and the corner of the door gashed my forehead.
Oof.
And I was like, fuck. I sort of stars for a moment. I kind of lost my footing a bit, and my vision went a bit, and then I sort of shook my head and thought, I'm all right. And then I walked into the house, and I was all covered in sweat. I was holding this fucking tray of coffees, and I had all blood coming down my head.
Oh, my God.
And my kids were like, what the hell is this? Because I hadn't realised I was bleeding at first. I think I was disorientated. Anyway, I got it all. Like, didn't go to hospital. Just cleaned it up, put a plaster on it. When I took it off a few days later, I had a right rascal scar on the top of my head, mate.
Has it gone now?
A tiny bit, maybe.
So look.
See, can you see anything
there? Well, your furrow on your brows, there's just lots of lines. Oh, yeah, I can see it. Yeah, above the furrow
lines. Yeah, it's faded a bit now, but it looked pretty good. And then I shaved my head. And I didn't shave my face for a few days. And I reckon I could have passed for rough and ready had I needed to. If I was in a situation where I needed to pass for a rough and ready gentleman, a gentleman of the street, I could have done.
The opposite of Beeping Timmy.
Almost. Yeah. If I'd had to shed the Beeping Timmy persona, I could have passed for, you know, Headbutt Steve instead.
I mean, it's not the scene you were hoping to create, is it, when you went home with the coffees? That kind of
it's going to be much more sophisticated. I thought carnage. I was going to be like, what's his name in the Gold Blend adverts?
Yeah.
No, hang on, not Gold Blend. Who's Nescafe man who shakes his...
That's
does
Gareth,
the wanker
Gareth
sign.
Hunt. Yeah.
Yeah, Gareth Hunt, he does the wanker sign, doesn't he?
Does.
Have you seen that someone sent us... Oh, no. It was our good friend of the show, Tommy Stewart, sent me a clip, which you might have seen. I think it was quite old, but he reminded me of it the other day, where high-performance expert Jake Humphrey, the tallest and most accomplished man on television. In the land, really. On television or off television. The man who just understands... What squeezing that last 0.1% out of your performance in any endeavour?
Yeah.
How much that means.
Gets you over an extra line, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Into an extra
realm.
When you're presenting
a television programme.
Yeah.
And he was trying to... And I always get this impression, he's one of those sports presenters, and you get a lot of them, who are really trying... sort of too hard to be matey with the sportsmen and really try to convey the idea that they're one of them, right?
If they weren't sat at a distance from each other, he'd try and slap them on the back now and again, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. He's right like that. And the thing is, you can't be like that because they'll never accept you as one of their own. You have to... I mean, we know from working with people like that on TalkSport, you have to show some respect. You can have a bit of fun, but don't start thinking that you're one of the lads
in the
dressing room.
I mean, I used my TalkSport experience when I had that chat with Paul Merson in Florida.
I bet you did. Yeah, that would have come in very handy.
Yeah, it was just like I envisaged myself being in that office at TalkSport where everyone mingles, talent producers.
Yeah, exactly. And just sit around on the sofa
good
or whatever.
Yeah,
and you're like, oh, there's Mickey Quinn, normal.
Here comes Dean Saunders. He's going to tell us a joke.
Yeah,
and
he's
going
to do one of
laugh.
His impressions.
We're all
going
to laugh because his jokes are all brilliant. Yeah.
Yeah. Here comes Jason Cundy.
Yeah.
Yeah, go on. Yeah, then what happened? Yeah. What? Doing a podcast? Yeah. Then what? Yeah.
Chelsea Spurs this afternoon, the camera zoomed in on Cundy doing some commentary at one point. I thought, that's nice. Of course, representing both those clubs.
Just the thought of Cundy... like, just fills my heart with joy.
Yeah, of course.
Anyway, Jake Humphrey was doing this thing and he gave a bit of banter to Ginola. And Ginola was there with... It was definitely Owen Hargreaves. And who was the other person? I can't remember. Maybe it was Crouch, I'm not sure. But, he's trying in his head, he's thinking high performance presenting, not just normal presenting, high performance presenting.
Always.
So he cuts away from his fucking auto cue that a producer's written for him and suddenly gives Ginola a bit of shit over what he's wearing, right? Oh. Which don't do that though, Ginola. He's the world's most sophisticated and stylish man. You're not going to get away with this, you fucking streak of piss, right? And he's gone, huh? You can tell David thought he was only going to be filmed from the waist up today. And David Ginola just obviously didn't like him. He went, what do you mean? And he goes, well, from the waist up, you've got a lovely jacket, lovely shirt. Your face looks great as always. But below, it's an absolute mess, right? Because he was wearing jeans and a pair of trainers. Actually, a pair of Adidas Gazelles, I noticed, which I admired. You and I are both fans of those particular training shoes.
Yeah.
And of course, because fucking Jake Humphrey's such a raging, horrendous Tory, and like all fucking horrendous Tories, just got no idea whatsoever about fucking anything to do with clothes, right?
I mean, I was going
to
say, what did Humphreys expect? Chinos. Is
that what he wanted? Exactly. Chinos and brogues.
Loafers.
Yeah. Espadrilles if it's a sunny day. Deck shoes. Right? And he's like, and Janota's just looked back at him and went, oh, okay, like that. And Humphreys just thinks it's funny because he's the sort of bloke, he would never notice anyone else's response to his jokes because it doesn't matter. In his mind, he thinks, brilliant, everyone found that hilarious. Right? And then it does a cutaway to another camera and he turns the camera and Janota and the other players are behind him. So it's a weird shot anyway. He's standing a few yards in front addressing the camera and they're behind him. And Ginola obviously doesn't realise he's on camera because he nudges Hargreaves and the other bloke and he just does the wanker sign whilst pointing at Humphreys. It's fucking sensational.
I think I've seen this. Is this on
if
YouTube?
If you didn't already regard David Ginola as an honorary national treasure, you will after seeing that.
Is this on YouTube? I'm sure I've seen it.
I'll get it and I'll send it to you, mate, right now.
It is. There it is. It's 2013.
Yeah, so what do you have to say? What do you have to type in?
Oh, yeah, they're quite battered trainers as well. The jeans have got holes
in
them. Yeah,
but I mean, fuck it, he can wear what he wants, can't he? Because he's David Ginola. He looks sexy whatever he puts on.
Yeah. And it's not just Jake Humphreys, it's Jake Humphreys and Tim Lovejoy bantering each other.
Oh, yeah, Lovejoy's there for some reason that you can't quite work out why. But I can look at it as well. Lovejoy doesn't like him either. Look at the chemistry between them.
At one point, Humphrey puts his foot up on the raised area where the players are.
Of course he does, because he's trying to power play. He's trying to power play Lovejoy.
Like Peter Purvis in those logs.
Your time's gone, Lovejoy. Yeah. It's me who's the friends with the footballers now, not you.
This is the 2010s. Yeah, that's all they're doing it.
They're my pals, not yours. Ginola's such a legend, isn't he? Who is it? Owen Hargreaves and who else?
McManaman.
Oh, McManaman, yeah.
Fantastic.
Anyway, that's good. And we haven't had a chance to catch up with our old friend Jake Humphreys. Unfortunately, he's been dropped from their Premier League coverage.
Has he?
In favour of the Geordie Princess, Lindsay Hipgrave.
Really?
Former colleague of mine. Me and her used to work together on Five Live. In fact, my first ever live presenting job on radio back in about 2008, it was me and her doubleheader on Saturday mornings on Five Live. And she has obviously gone from strength to strength. I think she's wonderful. She's really great, really nice, and really like knows this stuff like real, like like massive football fan. And so, when I read in the paper that Jake Humphreys had been dropped from the Premier League coverage and replaced by Lindsay Hipgrave, you can imagine what I thought.
Well, I don't think he'll have been dropped. Surely he's gone on to something bigger and better, because the only way is
something
up.
More
it's
elite.
It's always progress, isn't it? Whatever you do
with him. The trajectory is always up.
Jalapeño.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you wouldn't be hearing this brief but annoying message if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Jalapeño.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Jalapeño.
It reminds me of when we were talking the other day about Bear Grylls, and I forgot to mention this. This was from the legendary Get in the Sea book that I wrote in 2016, which is next. It's basically a Nostradamus of the last few years. Who's a cunt and who isn't. And I wrote about Bear Grylls. It was in a section of the Britain's 50 worst people.
Yeah.
And Bear Grylls was in there because I read an interview with Bear Grylls where he talks about, he goes through his day. It's one of those ones, wake up, blah, blah, day this, day that, you know, one of those fucking self-indulgent, narcissistic things. And he says, wake up, something stupid like 4:30 in the morning, switch off the alarm clock, reach for the alarm clock, but I don't call it an alarm clock, I call it an opportunity clock.
Cunt.
And, I imagine Jake Humphries has reached for the opportunity clock.
He'll have an opportunity
rather
clock.
Rather than...
The press have described it, just to be clear, the press described it as him being dropped.
There'll be some lawsuits flying around there, I think, from Humphries HQ.
He'd have been fuming about that. He'll have been... dropped.
Oh, I'm
sorry,
sure he's got
but
some...
dropped... is not in the Humphrey lexicon.
Yeah, I've actually decided to step aside so that I can spend more time on my increasingly successful podcast, which we sold out the O2 recently, I think you'll see. Well, it wasn't the O2, was it? It was the little bit on the side of the O2 where they do the little shows.
Couple of jerk losers on some sort of piddly pissant podcast apparently have been giving me a bit of jip, taking the piss. Just... pathetic, jealous, bitter, insecure people. Their podcast
jerks.
Is very much not high performance. It's a podcast for jerks by jerks.
Silly. It's silly guys.
It's silly nonsense. They're old men, effectively. Half the time, they're just swearing. They're talking about... apparently, one of them has completely alienated his neighbour. Because she overhears him making it, and it's so juvenile and offensive. It's very much a low-performance podcast.
I've just done a little search, and I found a story on a website called Pundit Arena. And the headline is this. You'll like this. Jake Humphrey responds to news he's been axed by BT for Premier League games. Of course he's responded.
Of course he has to respond,
Here's what it says. The Mirror published a story on Tuesday to say that Humphrey had been axed, to which the presenter simply replied, "Not true." While it is unclear what Humphrey is saying is untrue, it has definitely been confirmed that Hipgrave has replaced him as the Premier League presenter on BT Sport. And Lindsay Hipgrave did a tweet. After a weekend of dreams coming true for women in football, the dreams of a football mad Geordie lass have also come true. I couldn't be any prouder to be leading BT Sport's Premier League coverage this season. Humphrey replied... "You're going to be amazing, Lindsay. So delighted for you. Please, just let me back for the odd game."
Oh, God almighty.
Perhaps what Humphrey is saying is untrue is the idea that he was axed, as it appears to have been a mutual decision. Of course it was. He clarified the situation on Twitter saying, "Yes, ignore the misleading nonsense headlines. I spoke to BT about being too busy and we agreed I'd host less Premier League games."
But my height, the height of my performance in every sphere of my existence as a human being has rendered me increasingly in demand. And therefore, I just can't. I'm moving onwards and upwards. Thanks and all the same. But let's leave it to that lovely Geordie lass who seems to know her stuff.
High performance is one thing, but everybody has a maximum. And the Jakester has just about reached his now.
A ceiling.
I don't want to spread myself too thin. What with the podcast being such a big success. So it says he's doing the Champions League coverage for them this season.
Yeah. So, that's what Lineker used to do. Yeah. Right, talking of football, right, because we don't want to antagonise him anymore because he'll come at us and he will destroy us. He could destroy us, mate, with the click of his fingers. You
I
know
almost
he could.
Want him to.
Because it would be such good content to be destroyed by him. Anyway, a couple of the things from the weekend. Fucking hell!
Oh, football roundup. It's a football roundup now.
It's all about looking into your eyes. Because first, Jamie Redknapp yesterday, he was having that sensational. I mean, by the way, I don't have context for any of these, so I just see it as clips on Twitter. I wasn't watching any of these things as they happen. But first, I've seen like Redknapp and Gary Neville. Yeah. Going at it about United.
Yeah.
And James goes, no, Gary, no, look into my ass when I'm talking to you, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I've got to say, I really like Gary Neville and I really like Jamie Redknapp. I think they're both great. And I really respected them for giving so much of a shit about it. I mean, if I was Jamie Redknapp, it's not even my club. I mean, I get it with Gary Neville. Must be heartbreaking.
Well, I mean, Manchester United have been on the slide. They've been on the slide for a decade now. So I don't understand why it's still hot news, you know?
Yeah, I know, but Sky is very much kind of a vehicle for Man United chat.
Yeah,
Man United and Liverpool chat, that's it, really. That's what it exists for. And increasingly, that's what the fucking Premier League's about. And you know all this bullshit where they all go, all these plastic fans that both clubs have, you know, we've talked about them before, none of them go or anything like that. And they all go, like, so you'll get the Man U fans going, I fucking hate the Scousers, right? And the Scousers going, I hate Man U. I hate Manchester, right? It's like, well, most of you haven't been to either of those fucking cities, so I don't know where you're getting all this from, right? But anyway, these clubs both go on about the animosity. They are constantly conspiring together to basically fuck off and fuck the rest of the league. They've done it for years. They've failed every time. But they're always at it because they are comfortably the two biggest clubs in the country, right? Probably two of the biggest in the world, if not the two biggest, in terms of the fucking fans they've got all over the place, right? They're huge. And they both are run by Americans, right? And they both have been for fucking years. All that is so all corny, all that, we don't like each other. They're in cahoots with each other because they say to each other, listen, the Premier League isn't about these other cunts, it's just about us two, right? True, that's the way Sky see it too, right? The rest of the clubs are there to basically play them, right? Yeah. And so they're constantly fucking, it's like a character from the Beanos, you know, like every Beano character is just always up to something.
I'll tell you what it's like. It's like Tom and Jerry, where Tom and Jerry are always warring with each other, but now and again they'll join forces.
To go against Spike or a ghost mouse or something like that.
Oh, ghost mouse.
or a sexy cat that is trying to trick them. I don't know anyone, right? But like, I thought about that the other day. I thought, you cunts, all this fucking contrived, like, tribalism, which doesn't apply to any of you, because how could you even feel like that when you've never even been to the fucking derby game anyway? Like, do you know what I mean? Where does it come from? Blind prejudice against people from Manchester or people from Liverpool? That's just fucking racist, mate.
But it's like the Sunderland-Newcastle rivalry, that's the same. It's two different cities. And you get people who have never visited either city and never will, because it fucking runs so deeply in their veins that they just walk.
That's hilarious.
At the end of the day, this part of the country,
it's really difficult as well. It's so close to each other. I really admire anyone in Sunderland who's never been to Newcastle. It's amazing.
Oh, there's loads of them. This part of the country has been fucked over repeatedly by the Tories, and we're all the victims. We're all wallowing in the same shit. But I can't be doing with it. But you're right. I mean, some of us will never forget the European Super League.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. But that wasn't the first time, you know. They've tried shit like this before. The European Super League was just the latest.
Yeah.
But for years, if you look back through it, for years, fucking Liverpool and Man United, behind the scenes, they get together and they go, right, how can we take all this pie for ourselves? It should be ours anyway. I mean, you know, they've sort of got a point. I mean, the fucking global audience is generated to a huge extent by people who support those clubs.
Yeah.
But I mean,
as a result, the league itself's completely warped.
Yeah.
And it's never going to be an equitable league because it's just how it is. And we're just fucking numb to it now.
Mm.
The Championship, I repeat, is the best league.
Well, better watch out because Sunderland might get promoted. Anyway, there's this fucking... look into my eyes. Look into my eyes when you're talking to me, Gary. I thought, what fucking hell? Calm down, lads. And then today, I just saw the clip that after Chelsea Spurs, fucking mental, Conte walks past Tuchel. Tuchel shakes his hand, but then doesn't let go and pulls him back. But it's a move, I mean, you must have seen it. It warrants almost a deep dive episode in itself because it's a move I've never seen before. It's like a backwards reverse handshake, power shake, and he pulls him back. Then when he turns around, and I've replayed this clip four or five times just before coming on the line to you, right? And what Tuchel says to him, he points at his eyes because he's saying, look at my eyes when we shake hands, because if not, it's not... So I just thought, well, that's twice this weekend. What's the new craze about looking into each other's eyes all of a sudden?
It's like a meme, isn't it? It's like we're just normal men. Everyone's just applying it to everything now. And it lasts for 48 hours.
Look in my eyes. Look in my eyes. No, I don't want to look in your fucking eyes. Well, fucking look in them.
The Tuchel interview afterwards where he said that he was under the impression that you always looked into the other manager's eyes when you shake hands. As if that's happened in every single match he's been a manager of. Exactly.
Utter bullshit. Fucking hell. Most of them just do a sort of a cursory disgruntled thing. And you can't take it personally because as any manager will tell you, what it is they are so crushed after defeat, right? Yeah. It's not personal they don't like the other manager. They literally just don't want to talk to anyone.
They're just consumed.
They always go, I feel physically sick for the next 48 hours. Yeah. It kills them.
Yeah, that's what
it
you want.
It absolutely kills them.
That's what you want.
And Tuchel should know that because I'm sure he's a nutter. I mean, obviously, I already knew Conte was a nutter anyway. Mm. But what a bizarre confrontation. We've had some weird rivalries with right wrong-uns amongst managers. But this one is like... you know they're like? They're like... what are they called? The two fucking weirdos out of Diamonds Are Forever, that James Bond film.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, I'll send you a picture of them. But all this looking into your eyes, I'm not bothered. It's the same... We've talked about this loads, but it's the same cunts who think that a handshake needs to be firm. Well, let me tell you, right? If anyone fucking gives me a firm handshake, and I'm not even exaggerating when I say this, anyone who ever has given me a firm handshake on first meeting... Mm. I immediately and correctly categorise as a cunt.
Yes.
And there's no coming back from it.
Yeah.
Right? If someone squeezes my hand, the first thing I think is, what's this? Oh, you think you're a hard man? What, because you've got a hard grip? Well, all right, let's have a fight. What are you going to do? Fucking grip my head?
You haven't even got a fucking hard grip. You've just pretended to have a hard grip.
You've squeezed it. I could have squeezed you, but I'm not...
Yeah.
Fucking hate firm handshakes. And add to that list, I hate any cunt who thinks I've got to make eye contact. I'll do what I want with my fucking eyes, mate.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't tell me where to fucking look.
Don't tell me what to do with my eyes.
I was listening to a podcast with Paul McCartney on it, right? Jessie Ware, she does this thing, telling me, you know, it's a famous podcast, everyone goes on about it all the time, right? And I thought, it doesn't sound like my cup of tea. But then someone said to me, listen to the Paul McCartney one. So I thought, all right. And obviously it's great. Listen to what Paul McCartney reckons, right? He goes, I'm 70, whatever he is. What is he now? Like 75 or something.
He's just turned 80, hasn't he? Just turned 80.
Right, okay. So he's 80, right? So he's like, he's boasting. He's going, they go, oh, do you wear contacts? No, I don't. I've never needed contact lenses or glasses. And his daughter Mary's with him, and she goes, "Oh yeah, tell him why, Dad. Tell him why." He goes, "Well, no, people can look on YouTube and see why, right?"
What?
Listen, right? This is fucking amazing. Paul McCartney still has perfect eyesight, aged 80, because he practices daily eye yoga.
Oh,
Wow.
And if you look on YouTube, you can watch him fucking doing a demo of it.
It's a tutorial.
Right? He does a tutorial. He met a yogi, right, when he was out in India. Not in the 60s with the Beatles. He met one since then when he was on his Jack Jones. And he's going to Jesse Ware and her mum. He's going, the thing is, the eyes are a muscle, just like any other.
You're fucking right.
And he goes, yeah, exactly. I mean, and he goes, they're just like a muscle like any other, but we don't think of them that way. But if you exercise them every day like you're supposed to, then you will not lose your vision. And I've been doing it for a long time. He went, and actually a friend once said to me that he was taking his daughter to the optician since she was only a teenager because she needed glasses already. And I said, oh, wait, before you go spending money, which, again, was just a little side note that I liked, is that Paul McCartney is trying to find ways to save his mate's money.
The richest pop star in history is trying to be frugal.
Yeah. But he is known for being a bit frugal, isn't he, I think? Yeah. And he goes, oh, no, don't go to the optician. He goes, just tell her to try eye yoga. And he goes, what are you talking about, eye yoga? He goes, so I explained it. And I saw that friend again a couple of years later, and I said, how's your daughter? How are her eyes? Does she wear glasses? And he goes, no, she does not, Paul, because she has been doing eye yoga every day.
There you go.
That's amazing, isn't it?
I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll do some research into this on the next live video stream we do for the IFS
Turbo.
We'll
try and do an eye yoga
session. And everyone can join in at home. And obviously we won't be able to see them, but we'll just know that they're doing it. And that'll enhance that particular perk.
And just one last question I've got for you is, going back to the Tuchel and Conte thing.
Mm-hmm.
Conte's a man. How old do you reckon Conte is? Mid-40s?
How hard do I reckon Conte is?
No, how old?
Oh, how old? 44.
What do you think of middle-aged men who wear very tight black T-shirts?
Conte does. It's a statement. It's like the power handshake. It's ridiculous. Well,
he's already had his hair done. We know that. And fair enough, some people want to do it. I don't judge people for that. I mean, I've chosen to be bald.
Yeah.
I could have gone to Turkey and got the hair plugs, but I like being bald.
Maybe you will one day, you know.
Maybe I will. Who knows? But I don't judge those who do it. And actually, I think he looks great with the hair. So, you know, no judgments there. But I'm looking at, because I've been rewatching this clip of the weird handshake. I don't know what we're calling that handshake. I'm sure a name will emerge for it, right? But that confrontation, and Tuchel's a weird, sinister-looking guy. Let's be honest, he looks like a serial killer, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much accepted now, yeah.
And Conte looks like, he looks like a sex person. That's the only way I can describe it, doesn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? He looks like a sex person who has sex parties
Let's
in the summer.
Not too much on it, but yeah, we both know what you mean.
A luxury, like,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, he's got a huge luxury villa somewhere
in the Italian countryside. He doesn't necessarily have one, but he knows where he can hire one for a weekend.
Yeah.
Put it that way.
And he has sex parties.
It'll get hosed down at the end as part of the conditions.
Yeah, really disgusting things. Yeah. And like, oh, and he's in tight, really tight swimming shorts. He's dancing by the pool to Euro house music with a girl who's like half his age at least. So I just think he's a sex person and the other one is a serial killer. But very entertaining start to the season, right?
It was. I enjoyed it. Yeah, it's been good. Do you want to know what's happened in the prediction league this weekend?
Go on, then.
Bit of a slow start for me and you. 2 points each.
Hmm.
Result spot, 5 points.
Oh, so his result spot out in front at the moment?
Out in front, first weekend that we've done this. So, yeah, 5. Players 2. So there you go. There you are. Result spot has got off to a flyer. Thanks to Nottingham Forest 1, West Ham 0, which we're not going to dwell on too much, but that's what got them the extra points. Okay, there you go. That's it. We'll be back throughout the week with all the usual stuff. And thanks for listening, and goodbye.
Goodbye.
Plan
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.